Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I want to go, I'm going to start in verse number 4. Let's go back to verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Chapter 5, along with Exodus chapter 20, is the listing of the Ten Commandments. So in chapter 6, he refers back to that. And notice what he says, verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Let me take you back to verse 7. Let's reread that. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now let's focus a little closer. It's on line 3 in my Bible. It says, And shalt talk of them. This morning, the title of my message is, Shalt Talk of Them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege that we have to have in our hands this blessed word. Lord, we know in the day that this was given, they had not what we have. They had but a fraction, and yet you said, Thou shalt talk of them. Lord, I pray that you might enforce into our hearts and our minds the blessedness of talking about the commandments, the statutes, this your wondrous word. Work in our hearts today. Strengthen in every heart, every home. Oh God, strengthen, I pray, in this church today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. For the Jew, this was a very premier portion of Scripture, one in which they took very seriously. And as their homes progressed, the fathers began to do exactly as God taught them in teaching the Word of God. We find from history that young people in the Jewish homes would many times memorize not just major portions, but all of the known Word of God. It was taught to them over and over, and the stories were rehearsed until they had them down pat. The message that God gives to you and I here, I believe, is very clear. In verse number 4, He begins by saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." It is clear that our God is unity. We talk about the Trinity or the Triunity. The three parts, if you please, of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct and yet one as God. Don't ask me to explain it further. All I know is that I have a body, I have a soul, and I have a spirit. And I cannot distinguish them, though I know that all three exist within me. There are some things that we do not understand that we use. And certainly God is far above our understanding. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside Me there is no God." We have one God. We find in verse number 5 that you and I are to love Him with all of our being. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Really referring to our whole being of body, soul, and spirit. You and I ought to love Him completely. Anything less than that proves our shortness. The Bible says in the book of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I today have not successfully loved Him as we ought to. The Bible goes on and very vividly says to you and I that His Word is to be exalted in our hearts. In verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." The book of Psalm, chapter 138, verse number 2 says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God wants you and I to take His word very seriously. And He says it ought to be in our hearts. This, the Word of God, thus, as He tells us in verse number 7, ought to be taught diligently within our homes. It ought to be exalted within our homes. First, I believe, it ought to be in the heart of every father. The reason that we do not find the Word of God being proclaimed as it ought to is because, men, it's not in our hearts. If verse number 6 would be true, verse number 7 would be much more true. His Word is to be taught by His words in all places of activity. Notice what it says here, "We shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." God tells us that ought to be the premier position of His Word within our homes. It is to be taught in all of our activities. Matter of fact, His Word ought to be lived when we leave that home out into the world. And I don't mean leave it for good. I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis. Notice verse number 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." It ought to be that which is clearly seen in our lives as it's written across us. Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, said, "Ye are epistles known and read of all men." What do they read when they look at us? And so we find here that God wants us to understand the importance of His Word and the importance of you and I speaking of it, telling it forth, talking about it. Thou shalt talk, he says, of them. The primary reason, as I already stated, is that we do not do so is because it's not really in our hearts as it ought to be. Oh my goodness, how we ought to be reading and studying and allowing the Word of God to come within our soul, to be a part of us. Day after day, line upon line, precept upon precept, ought the Word of God have that place in your heart and in my heart. And yet we find that it's talked of so little because we do not have it in our hearts. If you come to church a lot and you sit in preaching, and a few of you have got into the habit, though you need to get a little louder, you might say amen from time to time. Have you ever been in a meeting somewhere in the business and somebody said something, and because it was such a part of you, you said amen? And they all looked at you like, huh? Well, it's a part of you. You can't help it. When the Word of God so entrenches itself within our soul, you cannot help but speak of it. Therein lies our great problem in this area. How we need to allow it to be there. We speak about that which is most fond to us. We speak about so many different things. Allow me to take you to the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 45. You can turn there if you wish, but I want to read it. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. It by opposite token says, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Now that makes sense. A good heart produces good things. An evil heart produces evil things. Now notice, there's a colon, and a colon always means here's an explanation. For he says here, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. What is in the heart comes forth in our words. The mouth thus either justifies or condemns our heart. In Matthew, in a parallel scripture, goes on and says, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What do we talk about? It shows forth what is in our heart. In the New Testament, there is a word, conversation. Now, the word conversation in the New Testament is larger than just our words. It is a word that refers to our entire behavior. Women, perhaps more than men. If you're saying something, a man, he just listens to it, he takes it, your word, and a woman's looking, how's he saying it? You know, I mean, a husband can say, I love you, honey, and she's thinking, yeah, right. You're just saying it to say it. I mean, seriously, we watch how people say things. It's all about our behavior. We understand what is said because of who they are. And so when we talk about conversation in the New Testament, it's referring to that totality of life. But it is talking about our words that we say. It is talking about our conversations as we know it in the 21st century, the words we give back and forth to each other. And so as we think about our conversation, we ought to understand it gives great insight into what is happening in our lives. Listen, our conversations in our homes, what do they revolve around? Oftentimes, it's so many other things than what it ought to be. What's it revealing? It's the revealing of the heart of the home. One of the things we began to do last year was to have all of our Sunday school teachers on the same page. In other words, this morning, our scripture was found in Genesis 42-45. And it dealt with Joseph and his forgiveness of his brothers. What was taught in this class is a little different than was taught in the primary class or the nursery class or the junior high class or the senior high class. It was a little bit different because I taught it and they taught theirs. But it was the same thing. There's a purpose in that, and the purpose is that mom and dad and boys and girls can go home and talk about the things of God around the dinner table. It can be the subject matter as we're driving our way home, rather than cursing at the guy that just cut you off. Which, by the way, is very bad when it happens in the parking lot. To do either. Amen? But what is happening in our homes? What is happening in our gatherings as we gather together one with another? What is happening in the very lobby of our church? Do we talk about the things of God? What is most important in our hearts and our minds? It comes out in our conversations. In the book of Corinthians, chapter 14, verse number 26, he says, "How is it, brethren, when ye come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath an interpreter." Here he's saying, how is it you've all come together and you have something spiritual for your brethren? That's the way we ought to gather. Why is that not taking place so often? Because it's not in our hearts. Thou shalt talk of them. We are to put off our former conversation. That doesn't mean that we don't mention things about the weather or jobs or those kinds of things. But we ought to also understand, hey, if we're talking about the weather, we might also understand who makes it. We might realize, hey, the God who brought us the heat this year brought us the water last year. God is powerful. He can dry up this spot and rain in another. And we ought to be beseeching Him. I mean, we can turn these things in the right direction. But so often, we stick with the former conversation. Ephesians chapter 4 and 22 says that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And far too much of our conversations are revolved around the things of the world, not the things of God, revolved around even our fleshly desires. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Among whom also we had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh." Our conversations, where are they at? What should our talk be? What should our talk be? How should we be choosing our words? I took the word conversation and began to study the Scriptures with that one word. Came across some very interesting thoughts. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, it says this: "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Did you hear that? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Those are interesting words. The city of Philippi was an imperial city. It was a place that was considered to be very important. And people in the city of Philippi had a different way of talking than others because of their position in society. And so to these Christians, he is basically saying, hey, you are now the citizens of heaven, and you ought to speak as you are inhabitants of heaven, rather than that which is round about us. In other words, that which is becoming to the gospel ought to be language that is appropriate to the gospel. And so often our words are not that. What is our talk to be? It ought to be becoming to the gospel. It ought to be that which generates hope in the things of God, generates some thoughts towards our God. But not only that, we find, and this is written to a young man, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth," Paul writing to Timothy, "but be thou an example of the believers," and notice how in word, in conversation. In word, in conversation. This is directed to young people. I am appalled today at the language of young people and the things that are talked about. I'm going to put parentheses and narrow this down. I started in a big funnel. I'm going to bring this down. I'm appalled at Christian young people and what they talk about. Facebook included. It's appalling. Exemplary to others. Be thou an example of the believers. This is really being an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In what? In our conversations. If Jesus were standing next to you in the flesh, would you talk that way? The Bible says, brethren, we are ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is speaking for another. And you and I have been called into that position. Thou shalt talk of them. Talk of what? The wondrous things of God. You say, well, boy, I won't have very big things to talk about. God's not bigger than the biggest sports all combined. It's amazing that a guy will tell me, I can't memorize Scripture, but he can tell me the batting average of 23 different ball players. It's amazing that we can't remember that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, but we can remember what ball team that some football played for in 1965 and who he was traded to in 1968. It's amazing. The example to others. Here's one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Far too much of our talk is about stuff we have and stuff we want. Too much of our talk is about wanting this and wanting that and how we're going to get it and so forth. When we ought to be what? Concentrating on the God who is the one who's going to give it anyways. I believe our speech would be different here if our hearts were different here too. My Bible still says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Why is it we have a problem with these things? Because we have a heart problem. He goes on in the book of James. He says, who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. A man, by the way, is only wise as he's gotten it from God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Let me say it right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In another place, he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We cannot truly know, nor can we truly make wise decisions if we have not a fear of God. And if you and I are going to talk with words of wisdom, we must come from God, as we fear Him and seek Him. If any man lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And he says, and upbraideth not. In other words, he's not going to paddle you for it. He's not going to get upset with you for asking for that. He gives all men liberally. Solomon's a great illustration. He asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him. And by the way, was Solomon for many years, I realize his life was not exemplary all the time, but for many years Solomon knew how to speak wise words, and we find those words collected in a book called Proverbs. By the way, if you're looking for subject matter to talk about at the dinner table or talk about any time, pick up the book of Proverbs. It is loaded. It is absolutely loaded with tidbits of wisdom that, by the way, can be illustrated with the Old and New Testament and bring out all of the things that are there. In the book of 1 Peter, he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation." I find so many times that what I converse about is not on the level of holiness. God expects it to be there. Honesty, he speaks of. Having your conversation among the Gentiles honest, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Honest conversation, always with truth. My mother told me, "Son, don't lie." She said, "I'm going to tell you why. Because when you lie, you're going to get caught and you're going to probably have to cover it up with another lie, and pretty soon you're going to forget your lies." With honesty, conversations will never be abundant with these kinds of things until our hearts are full of Christ. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them how? Diligently unto thy children. How do we do that? Thou shalt talk of them. Thou shalt talk of them. When? Well, he says, when thou sittest in thine house. What do we normally do when we sit in our houses? What do we normally do? You can answer your own question. When thou walkest by the way, what do you do when you travel? What do you do? Are you talking about the wondrous things that are there? What are you doing? When thou liest down, it's bedtime. When thou gettest up, it's morning. It's just all the time. He says, not only that, they shall be bound for a sign upon thine hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. It ought to be so obvious that it's like our very hands. In other words, because the things that we have heard, our hands are doing what they ought to do. Our eyes are seeing what they ought to see. Our mind is thinking what it ought to think. The average home today, we wonder why do our kids grow up the way they do. It's because we gave them a babysitter. And her name was TV. We gave them other babysitters. They have other names. I'm not condemning those things, and they can have their place. But they've become a substitute in our homes for good old-fashioned conversation. And that doesn't mean that dad sits in one room and mom sits in another room and the children sit in another room and you converse by texting or Facebook. How about face-to-face? Amen? The others can have their place. But how we need good old-fashioned conversation. Why isn't it there? Why do we hear a message like this and we don't practice it? There's a problem here. For what we take in here, it goes down into here and it comes out here. I haven't listened to it for a long time. I very seldom listen to the radio. The only time I ever listen to it is if I happen to be in the car. It's probably been 3 years ago the last time I heard Dr. Laura. I don't know, is she still on the radio? I think she's a psychologist. Psychiatrist, something of that nature. And people call in with their problems. And they ask her questions. I've always, as I've listened to her, I have no idea in later years, I always was intrigued by something. Oftentimes they would call in and I would think, you don't understand what they're trying to ask you. You're really being hard on them. She did something. I finally figured it out. She took the very first things that they said to her and realized that was their heart. And there lie the problem. And she would hammer on it until she got to the truth with them. Once in a while she was wrong. But normally always. She knew a principle really from the Word of God. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And she learned how to find those words that were not covering up. Because most of the time when people would call in, it was because they were having a problem with somebody else. But she would be looking at their problem. I use that to illustrate. What do we talk about? What is in most of our conversations? We ought to look very closely. I believe we ought to ask God to forgive us and to ask God to change our hearts and allow this Word to be so entrenched we can't help but talk about it. Like the meeting. It's not a preacher preaching, but we say amen because it's so much a part of us. Some of you, without realizing it, ought to really stop and look at how you talk. Because you reveal you're not saved to the discerning ear. You don't have a heart that ever speaks the Word of God. Because it's not been changed. I don't say that meanly. I say that with compassion. You need Jesus. That He can change that wicked heart. You can try to cover it. But it shows. Father, today work in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to look and to see the things that we so talk about. Lord, I believe we all stand here guilty. Oh God, it's our hearts. For when we're in tune with You, these things flow naturally. We don't have to try. We don't have to stop and think about it. It's just there. Lord, we don't have to stop and think about the weather. We know all about it. We've been out in it. We've seen it. We've experienced it. But, oh God, may we have a voice about You that is even greater than that. Work on our hearts in this area. God, we need changed. Thank You for what You have done. But, oh God, there's so much more. But it might bring change in our homes. It might bring change in our church. It might bring change, really, in our entire nation. Oh God, work this morning. I pray for that soul in this building this morning that knows You're not a Savior. They can't talk of the things of God, for they've not the heart for it. Oh God, today, speak to them that they might give their heart to You, that they might be saved. Work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.